This is Worldwide KFUO. I'm Buzz Ulrich, and we're talking with Reverend Matthew C. Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, newly reelected. Congratulations on being elected once again to serve as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Thanks, Buzz. It's quite a humbling experience to go through.
In Jeremiah 29, the Lord tells us he knows the plans he has for us, including a future and a hope. As a president of a confessional Lutheran synod, you have some hopes for the future, both within the synod and in Christ's church. Can you share some of those?
Yeah. I think we've encapsulated that in the theme, Witness, Mercy, and Life Together. And when we went at this work of restructuring the synod, which was given to us by the 2010 convention, we began looking at the Bible to see what really pulls the church together. What is the church? What is the church to be on about according to the New Testament? And we really isolated three different things: witness, martyria. You see the church exists to bear witness, and you see this right from the book of Acts. You see it in Jesus. You see it in the apostles. You see it in the people around Jesus. I think of the wonderful verse in John chapter 4 where this woman at the well is called to account by Jesus and then basically forgiven by Jesus and sent out. And she says, come see the one who's told me everything I ever did. And the text says, because of her witness, many of the Samaritans believed. Because of her witness, her martyria. That word became, of course, in the early church, a word for martyr, one who died for the faith. But you can't separate witness from the church. The church that stops to bear witness to Jesus as the Christ, the church that stops to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, that church ceases to be the church. And then mercy. In the New Testament, it's diaconia often, but the New Testament shows us that we are to carry on a ministry of mercy personally. Jesus loved and cared for all kind of people that came to him. He never really turns anybody away who's seeking his mercy. And he has mercy on all. We see in the Apostle Paul with his great collection for Jerusalem, where he spends years collecting funds from the mission field for poor, suffering Christians back in Jerusalem. He says in Galatians, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. And then finally, there is life together, koinonia. How do we live together when we're forgiven in the church? How do we care for one another? How do pastor and people live together and support? How do we together handle all the challenges the church faces and hold each other up and pray for one another and do our work in a positive way and provide pastors and teachers and missionaries? All those many other questions. So that's what we're on about, those three things.
This presidential term, are there some specific areas that you're looking to focus upon for synod, for the proclamation?
Yeah, I think it's really going to be important to focus on teaching the next triennium, emphasizing the basics about who we are as Missouri Synod Lutherans who subscribe to the scriptures and to the Lutheran confessions. What is it basically to be a Lutheran? It's going to be a triennium of teaching, emphasizing law and gospel in preaching and encouraging and urging all of our people, and especially our pastors, to really work hard together wherever they can to improve their ability to preach and serve the people of God and continue to improve that ability. There's a resolution coming for the convention which says, hey, every pastor has to do continuing education. And that includes me. So I look forward to actually taking some time to study and improve my preaching, improve my knowledge of the scriptures. Those issues are really important. We've got to get more missionaries on the field, and there's no reason we can't get out another 100 career missionaries over the next several years. That's doable. The funding model we use makes it doable. So that's something we need to put before the whole church. And we need to revitalize Lutheran congregations, help them work on taking a look at their communities and gearing their ministry toward their communities. And there are many other things.
Well, we're heading into the synodical convention. And obviously, you mentioned resolutions. Are there some other items that you're looking at coming into the convention?
There are a lot of items. The way the system works is the mass of delegates are chosen locally. We have about 1,200 delegates from all of about 600 circuits, and a circuit is maybe five or six congregations all the way up to 15 congregations or so, and it might be the number of people in the circuit may vary from a couple thousand or 1,500 all the way to 10,000 or more. And each of those circuits elects one pastor and one layperson from that group of congregations to represent it at the National Convention every 3 years. And from that body, then, the president of the synod chooses floor committees. And we have seven floor committees this year. Those floor committees come together, and they take all of the suggested resolutions, and we call them overtures. People ask the synod to do something or change something or get involved with something or stop doing something or do something differently, etc. And then those floor committees come together. They came together in this building over a long weekend, and they work together through those items one by one and come up with a list of resolutions to be put before the Senate. And so we've got a pile of those to come before the Senate.
There are always surprises in these conventions, no matter whether it's a synodical convention or a large union convention. Is there anything that you have heard might come up that you're going to pay attention to, at least the swell on the floor committees and whatnot?
Well, like all conventions, there will be issues that people have differences upon and about. I think as conventions go, this should not be a rather contentious convention at all. I think the issues that will cause some interest will be on the manner in which we train seminarians, especially seminarians through distance education, those kind of issues. There will always be concerns about this or that aspect of finances or structure. Some people will want us to revert to the structure we had prior to 2010, and others will want us to go further than we went in 2010. So it will be a good convention, I'm convinced. And the main goal of conventions is really to put before the delegates, the whole church, the Word of God, to encourage one another to be faithful to the Word of God, and to encourage one another to leave the convention and work for the kingdom of Christ in the world.
You get to do quite a few sermons through the year as both a president of a synod visiting, but also at a congregation that you serve. Talk to somebody that's listening from the pew in every town in America, and bring to them what you'd like to bring to them on a regular basis from the pulpit, preaching to them.
Oh my, that's a great request. I am just, the older I get, maybe the more crotchety I get, but I believe that there are a few things that really make great preaching. And one, the first is a pastor has to grab hold of the text. He has to look at the text. He has to grab his thoughts out of the text. You know, the pericope system where we have different readings every week and three different readings every week just provides a wealth of opportunity for focus. And then once you deal with the text, I often read texts on Monday that are coming up for the following week. In the parish, I would use those texts visiting people when I did a lot of visiting, and I would spend some time studying those texts, maybe a couple of hours before I would write the sermon. So number one, it's got to be textual. Number two, one thing I like to do in preaching is I like to just grab people by the neck. I hate to admit this, but I've watched Seinfeld. And have you ever seen George Costanza's father smack him on the forehead when he wants to get his attention? That is my approach to preaching. So what I'll do is usually take some remark up front that is really an attention getter. Like if I'm preaching on baptism, I might start with a statement by Luther: in baptism, heaven is nothing but doors and windows. And tell a little story that will invite people into the sermon. And then Thirdly, it's about applying law and gospel. And I mean law in its full sternness, law that has every person in the pew sitting up straight and going, oh my goodness, he means me. It's not law that is designed to make you whine or complain or gum you to death and make you say, oh my, I'm having such a difficult time living in the suburbs. I can't get my kids into the minivan soon enough, etc. It is the kind of law that damns. No one is righteous, no, not one. Jesus says, I came for sinners, not for the righteous. And so it's my entire goal to make a person realize that according to the Bible, he or she is a sinner, a damned, miserable sinner under the law. The law always condemns, only condemns. It condemns. It damns. It sends to hell. And then to take the text and apply the gospel, that everything in the gospel is for comfort and forgiveness. That's why Lutheranism exists at all. That's the whole content of the Bible. That's the whole content of the Lutheran confessions. The law exists to drive us to Jesus. And so in Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins prophesied from the beginning of the world. We were told that in the garden already, the promise of Genesis 3:15 came, that the serpent would strike his heel, but that Christ would strike the serpent's head and crush it. We have that right from the beginning. This Jesus was prophesied by the prophets. This Jesus came before time. This Jesus lived as the Son of God before time, came in time and took on flesh. He was conceived, born of a Virgin Mary, all for us, every bit of it for us. He was born under the law, and he was subject to the law. He kept to the law, unlike us. He serves his neighbor. He serves his parents. He goes to be baptized. Luther says he sticks himself in the water, and we take Jesus out of the water with us when we are baptized. He loves people around him. His beautiful eyes saw hurting people, and wherever they came to him for compassion, he actually had compassion on them. He reaches out to them. He touches the leper, the despised. He eats with sinners, the Pharisees complained. And Jesus suffers for us before Pontius Pilate. He is silent before his accusers, all for us. He goes to the cross for us. He's beaten by the soldiers for us. He has the crown of thorns pushed down on his head, and he bleeds down his head and face for us, for our sins. The nails go in, each of the nails, our sins. He is nailed to the cross. He says, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do for us. And all the times that we don't forgive anybody anything when they do anything to us, no matter how little it is. He dies for us. He goes to hell for us. He proclaims victory in hell for us. He rises again on the third day for us. A resurrection from the dead, a resurrection of the body, saying that our bodies shall rise again just like Jesus' body rose again, and we shall live in eternity in heaven. That is a direct application of the gospel to your life. Do that, and you'll be happy.
I'll do a 180 on this. Let's go back to the beginning of your seminary, your training, and you're a first-year Greek student. It's been said by somebody that every first-year Greek student has a phrase that sticks with them the rest of their years as a pastor.
Hmm.
What's yours?
Well, that's interesting. I think discovering in the Greek that where John says in 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelled among us, the word there is tented, tabernacled, skene. So the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That means what John is saying there is the glory of the Lord. And we beheld his glory of the only Son of God. What John is telling us there is the glory of the Lord, the Kavod Yahweh in the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord in the pillar of cloud, the pillar by fire, by day and night. That presence of God for forgiveness now is in Jesus Christ and his flesh. And when I first saw that, I was blown away, absolutely blown away. And then when you realize skene has the same syllables as Shekinah, which is also another term for that glory of the Lord, to see that everything for salvation now rests in Jesus and the person of Jesus. That was a mind blower. And there have been many.
As we go through the next few years in this term here, next couple of years in the term, you've got some things to look forward to. What prayers would you like to have said for you and for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
We are in an extremely difficult time. I mean, 1 in 3 individuals under 30 is unaffiliated, and that includes a whole heap of people that had been once members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a whole heap of people who have been baptized and even confirmed. We are seeing a rapid decline in church involvement and membership across the board in the United States. We're not nearly as badly affected as many other denominations, many mainline denominations, but we are affected. There's no doubt about it. So we face challenges, real challenges. The reason for our flatness or even decline over the last number of years, the last 40 years, but especially since the early 1990s, is because the birth rate among Caucasian or European descent Americans has dropped markedly. So prayers that we would be faithful, and that being faithful, that is holding our confession of faith solidly, we would also be diligent in reaching out and proclaiming the gospel, that we would not lose heart. And for myself, it's an interesting thing being president. There's really nothing to whine about, for Pete's sake. I have a good life. I get to see all the wonderful things going on around the world. But you just can't make everybody happy. You can't do it. And sometimes unhappy people or people who are critical, and sometimes they're critical for the right reasons. You know, they express their criticisms publicly. That's always a challenge to deal with. But it's beneficial. Keeps a person humble. But the one thing I'm more interested in anything personally is that my wonderful wife and 2 boys continue to love Jesus and their church, and they do, and that's been a huge blessing.
Reverend Matthew C. Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joining us on Worldwide KFUO. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Hey, Buzz, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to have you. And it's great to do my first interview in the new digs for KFUO in the International Center. Nice.
Congratulations again, and we'll see you soon.
Blessings.